More than 90% of the federal workforce is at least 30 years old, but a new generation of federal employees is already knocking on the door to your agency. Steve Condra is chair of the Federal Salary Council. Steve, it's good to have you on the program this afternoon. You're in town for an event. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But when you look at developing a new generation of government leaders, you have a unique position on the Federal Salary Council because you're looking at the issues that people deal with both as they come in and when they stay in government. Tell me about that role and how that informs the way that you look at developing young talent, Steve.
You know, I think one thing that we really need to do is to look at the federal pay system. I believe it needs to be modernized. If you look at the federal pay gap, there's more than a 30% difference between public sector pay and private sector pay. So first you need to talk about creating an environment that's attractive for people that actually want to come here and work for the federal government.
That involves anything. I've seen plans, anything from very fine tweaks to the GS system to totally throwing it out and trying to do a different kind of pay system. Where do you think that will fall eventually, or are we not to that level yet? Is it just enough to try to convince people that we need to change the system we've got now?
Well, I think you've convinced people you need to change it. I don't know that you can just throw the whole system out. I actually worked on this memos to national leaders with American Society for Public Administration. We actually talked about the GS system and a way really that you could take the system to modernize it. Your pay range now is only 30% from minimum to maximum. Most organizations have a 50% pay range. You could extend that pay range. You could also make some adjustments, particularly between grade 8 and 9. Grade 9 is really where your professional level employees start, and you were to increase that gap, say another 5 or 10%, and just move everything up and you move the scale out, that you could essentially, solve some of that problem right there. And that's a pretty easy fix. It just takes the political will to do it.
And my colleague Mike Causey talks about the time when it was very common to see GS3s and 5s all over the place. And when I go on USAJobs.gov and just poke around and see what kinds of things, what kinds of jobs agencies are posting, I see very little below 9 anymore. And I imagine that has a lot to do with the truncation of the schedule.
It does. It's also kind of the change in the workplace as well. You don't have as many, clerk typists and things of that nature. Jobs themselves have evolved, but they're really at a higher level. So you really don't see a lot of those, those lower graded positions. I actually do compensation consulting, not for the federal government, but for colleges and universities and for cities and counties. And you really have seen a lot of the disappearance of lower graded positions. And some of it's due to grade creep, but a lot of it is actually due to the change in the actual nature of the work that's being performed.
When you look at what you see in the state and local governments that you consult with and then compare that to looking inside the federal government, what are the major similarities, Steve, and what are the major differences, do you think?
Well, we have thousands of different systems across the country. I guess the major similarities are the difficulty that people have in attracting and retaining good IT professionals. I see that at all levels of government. There are common problems with merit pay at all levels of government. And you really can't talk about merit pay and pay for performance until you have, a solid pay system in place itself.
So the idea then, I'm thinking back to the NSPS, the National Security Personnel System a couple of years ago, and that fits with what a number of HR people have told me about that, because if the underlying, it's like a house, if the foundation's no good, you build a house on it and it's going to fall down.
Exactly. And I think that's why the National Treasury Employees Union, was so staunch in their opposition to it. Also, the AFGE as well.
You're in town, Steve, for the American Society for Public Administration's 75th annual conference. The theme this year, Celebrating the Successes, Promoting the Future of Public Service. It's happening at the Mayflower Renaissance, starts today and runs through Tuesday. And the idea of promoting the future of public service fits with a topic that is kind of an ongoing one on this show, and we touched on it early in our conversation, and that is a new generation of people will have to come into the federal government. It's bound to happen at some point. We've been talking about a retirement wave that's going to hit, and we've been talking about it for 15 years, it seems like, and it hasn't hit yet. But at some point in time, the folks that are in now are going to transition out. We're going to have new people assuming roles that more experienced folks had. And I wonder what you're seeing best practice-wise for any of the factors that are involved with that, knowledge transfer and the integration of people with different work habits and work styles and things like mobility and all those kinds of things. Anything like that that you're seeing that might be transferable to the federal government, Steve?
Well, let me tell you just a couple of things. I think mentoring is very important to identify leaders early on and then to fast-track them in to positions of leadership if you can do that. I was on a panel, or I was part of a panel this afternoon, the section on personnel and labor relations for ASPA sponsored, and we had the person that's in charge of the diversity and inclusion unit at OPM, and really kind of forward-looking. This is also kind of the 75th anniversary of ASPA, but it's also the 50th anniversary of the Civil Rights of 64. Didn't sound like there's too much of a connection between those two, but the Civil Rights Act of 64 forced government organizations and private organizations to have professional practices in their personnel management. You couldn't have selection devices that exclude people that are otherwise qualified and what have you. What we were talking about this afternoon is kind of looking forward. What's going to be the next 50 years of that? And it's including people, diversity broadly defined into the workplace. So I think it's important to have open work environment that's receptive to a wide variety of people, to have solid personnel structures, and also to have career ladders and opportunities for people to be mentored and to be encouraged through their careers.
Steve Condrey is the chair of the Federal Salary Council and my guest. And the concept of identifying leaders early on in their federal careers and putting them in position to move up the chain is a great idea, and a lot of HR people support it. It's more difficult in a GS schedule type environment, though, than I would think it would be, certainly in the private sector, and maybe it's more difficult than it is in some of the state and local governments that you work with, Steve?
Well, it's a large bureaucracy, and I think that's really the sheer size is what makes it difficult. If you give a bit of independence to the agencies to identify those people and some flexibility, even with the system that you have, I think it's possible to do it.
Identification of folks and the promotion of them for leadership ability as opposed to just technical skill, is that something that people can do within the agencies on their own, or will they need to get some help from OPM or from Congress legislatively whatever?
I don't know about legislatively, but I think that, there are a lot of very capable people in OPM. The people that I work with and staff, the Federal Salary Council, are extremely competent. And I think you have Director Archuleta now that's come in after Director Berry, both very forward-thinking people. So I would look to OPM for leadership on that.
What do you expect people to take away primarily from the ASPA conference this weekend and into next week's?
Well, I think an appreciation for the public service and, how much we've achieved over the last 75 years as an organization, and also how much government has improved, but then all the challenges that we face, and not just to look back, but to look forward and to try to embrace those challenges and hopefully to be around another 75 years from now as an organization and to have a much improved government, because there are a lot of dedicated public servants out there. And, the constant barrage of, people being against bureaucrats and what have you, it's very disheartening. And it's hard to recruit people to come to work for government when you have that type of kind of the noise out there, the chatter in society. So I think if we can get people to embrace public service, as President Kennedy did in his, hearken to call for public service back in the 60s, I think that we're going to be much better off.
We've talked about recruiting, and I want to talk about retention in the few minutes that we have left, Steve, because some of the same things that are making recruiting challenging are also making retention difficult for people in the agencies, the kind of the spirit that most people have about what the federal government means and what people who work for the federal government means. What do you see good leaders doing at various levels, both the people you work with in federal government, some of the clients you work with across the country? What do you see the good ones doing to help manage those issues and keep the good people that they want to keep on the job?
They inspire people. They let people know when they've done a good job. They set up organizations that are transparent and that you could have trust in. If you can't trust where you work, that your supervisor is going to treat you fairly and a pay raise is going to assess you fairly, then you really can't have anything else. So it actually goes down to that basic level of trust and openness in the organization.
Steve, I hope you have a great time while you're at this event. Hope you learn a lot, and I thank you very much for coming
on. Thank you. And I encourage anyone that is not registered for the conference to please come to the Mayflower Hotel, and we would love to invite you to attend the conference.
And we'll put a link with more information about it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Thanks very much for your time, Steve.
Thanks, Francis. I appreciate it.